Good morning.
Good morning.
How many of you are happy to be alive today? This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
We will continually rejoice and be glad in it, even though sometimes things may not happen the way we want them to happen. We know that our God is in control. And because of that, we have every reason to say hallelujah. I'm not here with my family today because my son went to VBS last week. And on Friday, he was throwing up. Of course, on Thursdays and Wednesday, he was really sharing the scriptures that he learned. But on Friday, he was throwing up different things. He was better yesterday, and then my daughter, at night, I think midnight, she started throwing up as well. She didn't go to VBS, but I want to believe that her brother was a good witness to her. So that's the reason they are not here. Otherwise, we thank God. I was given a position to serve at a church in Shirley. Shirley. It's Shirley. I knew something wasn't right. I could tell from your face, is that in America? That's the place. So I'm there as an interim pastor it's a contract of 1 year. I started on 2nd of this month. And we hope to see God work in that church. It's a church that has experienced a lot of challenges. And so I'm humbled and grateful for the opportunity to minister to God's people in that place. And I'm grateful for this opportunity too. So if you will, please pray with me. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day that you have made and the opportunity you've given us to come together and worship you. We just thank you, Lord, for the good things that you've done in our lives and even for the bad things that you have allowed to happen in our lives, because through them all, we have seen you. We pray that you may speak to us today. We pray that your Holy Spirit may work in us and accomplish the purposes which you have for this very service. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 10. I know we have read. I'm going to read again. One of my professors told me that in America now, not so many people are as familiar with the scriptures as it used to be before. And he emphasized that I should not assume that people know. I want to read again Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Not because you have forgotten what we read, but just to emphasize that. And they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Have you ever thought of becoming a blind person? Something happens in your life. You wake up in the morning and you cannot see. You can't see, you cannot see even light. You can't even see yourself. You can't see your friends. You cannot see the things in your house. Everything is darkness. Imagine being in that situation. Now, in biblical times, blindness was a common condition because of various types, kinds of infections, and sanitary situations. And in those days, they did not have programs or charitable organizations for blind people. So it was a tough time for someone to be blind. This is the environment that Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, found himself in. And this day we are told, just before that, Bartimaeus was a blind person, and he used to go and sit on the side of the main street of Jericho and begged. He begged because he could not provide for himself. He was blind. Maybe he had families, maybe he did not, but he needed someone to help him. That's why he begged. And this particular day began like any other day. He woke up in the morning, probably took a bath and brushed his teeth and took his breakfast and took his cloak. The cloak was the outer garment that he used to cover himself as he sat on the roadside because of the dust. And he went and sat at his usual place where he sat and begged. But one thing was different this day, because when he sat there begging, he could hear murmurings and footsteps of people like a marching army. And you know, as a beggar, usually when there are more people, you expect more money. But this was different. Even though there were more people, there were people moving, there was a lot of activity taking place, no one was giving him attention. And he was concerned. He was concerned, and he must have asked one of the people around him, "What's going on?" You know, he can't see, but he can tell there are people that are moving here. What's going on? And that's when he was told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I'm telling you, when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, that's what the Bible tells us. When he heard that it was Jesus who was passing by, something happened in him. The name of Jesus brought back the memories that he had had about Jesus. You read the beginning of Mark, and you know Jesus had healed a man with a crippled hand. He had healed lepers. He had healed a paralytic in Mark chapter 2. So these memories came back to Bartimaeus, and something happened in him. He was revived. He was revived. He was rejuvenated. He was more lively, even though he was still blind, when he heard that it was Jesus, the name that we love to hear. And Bartimaeus cried out. He cried out and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." See, he realized that he needed mercy. He knew that he did not deserve. He didn't deserve it. He knew that he couldn't force mercy from Jesus. That's why he cried out, "Have mercy on me." And I'm telling you, when he was crying for mercy, and when someone is crying for mercy, that person must be desperate. And this is the reality of prayer. We pray sincerely when we are desperate. Until we realize that Jesus is the only one that we've got, we can't really know how much we need him. But Myers, he cried. And let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to pray and to pray sincerely. And I know that this is a praying church. I know there are people in this church that are committed to prayer. Let me encourage you. When you are praying, pray from your heart. Do not let anything to hold you back. But Myers cried out to Jesus. And what's interesting here is, this is a blind man who is crying out for mercy from Jesus, and then there's the crowd who are following Jesus, you know, out of excitement. Some of them are probably eating something, and you know, it's, you expect things to happen. They are following Jesus. Probably they're expecting him to do miracles, or they were enjoying his teachings. There was excitement as they are following him, and there's a blind man here who is crying for mercy, and the Bible tells us, they rebuked him to be silent. That is sad. Instead of encouraging him and maybe lifting him up, they rebuked him to be silent. They wanted but Myers to remain blind, to stay there. You know, everything that we do will either bring people to Christ or drive them away from Christ. Did you hear that? Let me repeat. Everything that we do or say will either bring people to Christ or drive them away from Christ. Now, I expected someone to say, amen, which means I agree. When I say that and you are quiet, you make me feel. The crowd rebuked Bartimaeus to be silent. They were following Jesus, but someone who needs his mercy is crying for it and they are stopping him. They are rebuking him. They are discouraging him. And you know, discouragement is one of the tools that the devil uses to distract us from following Christ. Because when you are discouraged, you will not pray. You will not feel like praying. When you are discouraged, sometimes you don't even feel like going to church. When you are discouraged, you cannot encourage another person. When you are discouraged, you are weak. And the devil uses those opportunities that to discourage us. The crowd at this moment were being used by the devil, not by Jesus. Because although they were following Jesus, they were disconnected from his mission. They thought by stopping him, they were doing Jesus a service. They were doing the right thing. That's what they thought. But we are told, in verse 48, as they rebuked him to be silent, Bartimaeus cried out even more louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, at this point, Bartimaeus knew that this is the only opportunity that I have. He knew that Jesus is the only person who can deal with my situation. This is my chance. Can't you see it? He needed his mercy. He couldn't let go. They tried to stop him. He cried even louder. You see, I'm seeing a picture of a parent here who is praying, praying for her children, praying for his children. And as they grow up, they are teenagers, because teenagers think they know everything. The truth is they don't know. We can tell you because you were there, right? And as they grow up and as a parent, you can see them going different directions. You know, they no longer want to come to church as they used to. They no longer want to hear anything about the church. They are detaching themselves. And as a parent, that can be very discouraging because you are asking yourself, I have done everything that I needed to do. I have been praying for them. What's going on? And that can be discouraging and it can make you pull back. But when we look at Bart Myers, that should actually motivate us to pray even more. Because you still believe that God is in control. See, but Myers prayed even more. He was desperate. And I'm telling you, sometimes, a good example. If you are at a place where people don't know where the next meal is coming from, will come from, when you hear those people pray, their prayer will be so much different with the way some of us pray. Because we pray knowing that our freezer is full. We pray knowing that our fridge is full. They pray knowing that what we have today is what we have. We don't know what we will have tomorrow. They pray from their heart. There are so many believers who pray from their mind. A prayer is like something we do and check out. But we have to do it from inside. It's pouring our souls to Jesus Christ. Because prayer reminds us that we have a source of strength in Jesus Christ. So, but Myers prayed. He cried even louder. And what happened? Jesus, verse 49 tells us that Jesus stopped. Amid the crowd, in the midst of all the noises and murmurings and footsteps and people, Jesus heard the voice of a blind beggar and he stopped. To Jesus, it was no longer business as usual. He stopped. He stopped because he cares. He stopped because he was on mission. You see, when Jesus opened the book of Isaiah in the temple, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to come and open the eyes of the blind." And when he said that, he meant both physical and spiritual. Because a person who is not saved is blind also. He is blind to the things of God. He's walking into this world not even knowing where he or she is going. But Jesus came to open the eyes of that person also, to open their spiritual eyes so that they can have a direction, so that they can know where they are going. Jesus stopped. And when he stopped, he called for Bart Myers. And this is interesting. Bart Myers called on Jesus, and now Jesus is calling on Bart Myers. See, the Bible says, when we seek him, we will find him, just as he will find us. So Jesus turns to the people around him, and he says, "Call him." And I'm now thinking of the crowd that was rebuking Bart Myers, and what was their response at this moment? Were they, "Okay, you want us to call him?" Because these are people that wanted Jesus to feel that they were with him, but in truth, they were not with him. Or maybe it was his disciples who decided to go to Bart Myers and told him, "Be encouraged, take heart, he's calling you." But just imagine one blind beggar against the crowd, and Jesus hears his voice. You see, this should encourage us to know that despite all the voices that we hear from our friends, from our enemies, from our rulers, from everywhere, all the voices that we hear, despite all those voices that we hear, there is one person whose voice is the most important. Just knowing that when no one else is paying attention to us, Jesus is paying attention to us. Just knowing that in that loneliness, in that discouraging moment, in that despair, Jesus is still willing to give you attention and to listen to your cry. Did I tell you a story about the lady I met at Market Basket? I did not tell you that. I met a lady at Market Basket, an old lady. I think it was in my first 2 or 3 years here. And I was at the section where they sell butternut. So I was looking at the butternuts. We cook that for our son, Wisdom. And this lady came and she said, You like butternut? And I was like, yeah, I like butternut. She said, I like them too. I said, okay, that's good. and she was still looking at me. I was wearing a T-shirt, the Gordon Conwell T-shirt, and she looked at it and, Gordon Conwell? The way she said it was so nice. It's not the way I say it. I know that seminary. I said, oh, you do? That's where I go. I'm a student there. Oh, so you are a preacher? I said, yes, I am a preacher. And then she said, when you preach to people, tell them to pray for their children. I'm like, wow. I will tell them. And she's still looking at me. And then she said, I pray for my children. And I pray so much for my grandchildren. I gave her more attention. I felt there was more into this. And then she was quiet and she said, I pray for my grandchildren because I don't want them to treat my children the way they treat me. Her husband had passed on and she was living alone. And her children were, it's like they wanted nothing to do with her. And that was the moment that I tried to encourage her that in that loneliness, God was with her. And I want to encourage you too. In that moment of loneliness, Jesus is right there with you. He's ready to listen to you. He's last time I checked, he did not have any hearing problems. So go ahead. Go ahead in that moment and cry out to him. And in fact, I think when we think like we are lonely, that's a good time for us to pour out our heart to Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when you are in a crowd, there are things that you don't want to say if you are like me. If you pray loud. Sometimes when you're in a crowd, there are things that you don't. That's why you hear people sometimes they say, oh, Jesus, I thank you because you're my God. And then there is silence. Because there are things that they don't want anyone else to hear but Jesus. So they will say them in their heart. And then they'll come back and, Lord, you've been so faithful. Lord, and I remember. See, when you're in a crowd, sometimes you can't be as free as you should. But when you are alone in that loneliness, be encouraged. Be encouraged to cry out to Jesus. So when Jesus calls for Bartimaeus, we are told that he threw his cloak, you know, the outer garment, he threw it out and he sprang up. Now, this is the blind man we are talking about. I don't know which direction he wanted to go when he sprang up. Probably they helped him and he is going and they are holding him out this day, and then he gets there and he can now. He's there and he can tell I'm in front of him. I've never seen him with my physical eyes, but I believe him with my spiritual eyes. And Jesus is looking at him. And Jesus says something. He asks Bartimaeus. Let us read his words. In verse 51. Excuse me. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What? That's one of the best questions, you know. Did Jesus say that? What do you want me to do for you? You know, when I was preparing this message and I read this particular part, I was like, wow. That's a very good question. If Jesus asked me that question, I'm telling you, I have a list. I have a long list. Okay, Jesus, you have asked, you know, I have a list. And I was thinking, what would be number one on my list? You know, and number one on my list would be my son, Wisdom. I'd say, heal my son, Jesus. What will be on your list? What is it that has been a burden in your heart that you'd want Jesus to deal with? What is it that you have that you're struggling with that you'd want Jesus to take care of? Is it bitterness? Is it love for others? Unforgiveness? Do you find it difficult to forgive? Is that something that you want Jesus to deal with? Is it salvation? Do you want Jesus to save you, to bring you to his family? What is it that is in your list? Is it your children, your grandchildren? You see, this question is giving us an opportunity to bring our needs to Jesus Christ. He may not deal with them the way we expect or the way we want, but I can promise you that he will deal with them faithfully. What is it that is in your list? In Bartimaeus' list, there was only one thing when Jesus asked him. And Bartimaeus said, "I want to recover my sight." That was his cry. That was his prayer. He was as specific as he could be. "I want to recover my sight." And Jesus told him, "Go, your faith has made you well." You see, many of us may not have the same experience that Bartimaeus had. Our need may not be met in the exact way that we would like it to be met. But I'm telling you that Jesus, in his faithfulness, he will still meet that need, in a different way. Sometimes he will strengthen you to face the situation. I have prayed for my son for a long time, and I still pray for him. But you know, every time God has given us his grace and love and encouragement, and he has taught us to be more loving and more sensitive to people that are going through difficulties. He has given us a heart to encourage others. And every time my son smiles, his smile reminds me of the love of God for us. God will deal with those needs in ways that will bring glory to him. What is it that is in your list? If you are here, let me say, you are here and Jesus is not your savior. You have never made a confession. Let this be your day. Let this be the day that you leave the church as a different person, because the Bible says anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let this be the day that you leave this place a new person, that you exit that door with a smile on your face because Jesus has changed you. See, but Maya said that and Jesus healed him. Immediately, he recovered his sight. And but Maya's response was only to follow Jesus. He decided to be his follower from that day. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's all about. That's what it's all about. It's following Jesus. It's following Jesus and helping others follow him. I think Bartimaeus, because of his experience because of his experience with the crowd, after the encounter with Jesus, he was one of those who encouraged people to follow Jesus rather than rebuke them to be silent. What does this mean for us? What's the message that we have from this story? You see, a Bible story will only remain a story until it speaks to us. Here is the message that God has put in my heart to share with you this morning. We overcome when we focus on Jesus. We overcome when we focus on Jesus. I'm telling you, I have seen churches split because they focused on something else. I have seen churches split because of the color of the carpet. A section of the deacon board says we want a red carpet because it reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ. And another section says, no, we want a brown carpet so that it can match with the color on the walls. Red, brown, red, brown, red, brown. Poop. The church split. Anytime we lose our focus on Jesus, we lose the battle. Our faith, our victory swings on the hinges of our faith in Jesus Christ. We overcome when we focus on Jesus. And when we realize this, three things will happen. Now, someone says, I knew there would be three things. You know, I come from a Baptist background where your sermon at least needed 3 points. And it's because we are Trinitarian, you know. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we realize this, the first thing that happens here is our faith will determine what will take to stop us. Our faith will determine what it will take to stop us. You see, but Myers, because of his faith, he refused to be stopped by the crowd. What is it that will stop you from following Jesus? What is it that will stop you from being faithful to Jesus? What is it that will stop you from being the kind of person that God wants you to be? The loving, caring Christian. What is it that it will take to stop you? It will be determined by your faith on Jesus. You see, let me tell you, people can take everything away from you, but there is one thing no one can take from you, and that is your faith in Jesus Christ. That is why we have Christians in places that they are persecuted, but they still call upon Jesus. Because even though they are persecuted, their faith remains intact. No one can take away your faith. I know there is fear in this country because of what is happening, because of the situation, the way the things are going, and it seems like Christians are being sidelined, you know. They're being rebuked to be silent. They're being discouraged. They cannot take away your faith. They cannot do that. They cannot do that. Your faith in Jesus will determine what will stop you. And if you know Jesus the way the Bible tells us about him, you will cry even louder when they try to stop you. The second thing, our faith in Jesus will influence our communication. Our faith in Jesus will influence our communication. You see, the way we communicate as Christians, as I said earlier, what we do or say will either bring people to Jesus or drive them away. When we allow our communication to be influenced by what we believe about Jesus, we will communicate to build, not to destroy. We will communicate to bring peace, to unite, not to divide. Let me tell you, and I'm reminding you to pray for this. On 8th, next month, August 8th, we will be having our general election in our country. And already we have seen we might have a lot of violence. And so we are praying for that. But going back now, when we had presidential elections here in America, I was amazed by the communication that was going back and forth among Christians. I was amazed. It seemed like for a certain period, people forgot that they were Christians and now identified themselves with either a donkey or an elephant. And they were at war. May we allow our faith in Jesus. I don't want to say more about that. May we allow our faith in Jesus to influence our communication, because we know that we overcome when we focus on him. And the last thing, our faith in Jesus will encourage us to follow him. See, because I believe in him, because I know who he is, because I know what he has done in my life, I just want to follow him. And that is what Christianity is all about. It is following Jesus. As we follow him, we are made like him. As we follow him, we develop a desire to want to see others know him and become like him. As we follow him, we make him known. As we follow him, we are transformed day by day into his image. Our faith in Jesus will determine what it takes to stop us. Our faith in Jesus will influence our communication. It will influence how we communicate with one another. It will influence how we communicate with God. And our faith in Jesus will encourage us to follow him. Maybe you have been in a situation like Bartimaeus. You may not have been blind, but you've had a cry in your heart that you would like God to have mercy on you, that you'd like to see God's intervention. It could be your church. I know this church is going through a transition. I know the pastor that left had been here for quite a long time, and there is always that grieving moment that we go through. But let us realize that we can only overcome when we focus on Jesus. There is nothing. That's the reason we are here, right? Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, especially you young people that are here, if you are here because your mother forced you to be here this morning, let it not happen next Sunday. Next Sunday, come here because you have realized that in this life, you can only overcome if you focus on Jesus. And next Sunday, you will wake up and prepare yourself and come to church even before your parents get here because you can only overcome. Why are you laughing? Where is your faith? Okay, I understand some of them cannot drive, maybe. You know, sometimes it's difficult for parents to explain to their children that the ways of this world are complicated. And sometimes we just depend on God to make it understandable to them. But for some of you that are at least are able to come to church, God is telling you this. You will overcome when you focus on Jesus. You will have a lot of friends that seem to care for you, but there's only one friend who gave his life for you, and that is Jesus. And for that person who does not know Jesus, I want to remind you again, let this be your day, because we can only overcome when we focus on him. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for every family that is represented in this church. Thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you for that individual who is here today. And you had meant this message for that person. How I pray that in your own way, you may accomplish what you intended. I pray for that person who does not know you as Savior, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit help that person today to want to be your child, to desire to follow you. I want to pray the transition period that this church is going through, that Lord, despite everything else that will be taking place, may you help your people to focus on you, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. Because you are the only one who can bring us together, and because you are the reason we gather together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you are here and you'd like to follow Jesus Christ, feel free to come. If you need help, just come. You can see me, you can see Tim. Tim, can you? Tim, where is Tim? There's Tim, there's Roy. Oh, Tim Roy. Why am I forgetting your name? Oh, there's Pastor Rick and Bill. Yes, Bill. I'm sorry, Bill. Yeah, you can see any of this, and I'm sure they'll help you. Or you can come and see me. I'll be outside. God bless you so much. Please remember to pray for us, for my family, and for our leadership in this church. And I'll be praying for you too. And I'm sure we will meet again before Jesus comes. Thank you.